come this morning. You're so wonderful. What you've done in the last little while has amazed me, and you're so great, and it's not even a drop in the bucket of what you can do. Lord, if we just trust you, go ahead and live for you, not worry about anybody else, not worry about the world, what they think. Maybe if we just go ahead and be obedient to you, Lord, how you could use us. Lord, our people are lost this morning. I'm asking you to help us to be a witness to them. Lord, time is short. I know that, Lord, you know that. I know, Father, that you alone know when you're going to send Jesus, but even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, I pray. Lord, for anything in my mind or heart you find this morning that's wrong, contrary to your word in any way, I'm sorry. Ask you to forgive me, please. I need to be used of you this morning in however way you want me to be used. Lord, touch me fresh of thy power, whether it be quiet or soft. It is not the importance, Lord, is whether or not I be used of you. And Father, I pray that we might listen intently. But Lord, help us not just to listen. I think of what Teddy prays so often. Lord, help us not just to be challenged. Change us this morning, I pray, men and women alike, that we might be obedient to you. And we're going to thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, I pray, and amen. As this is Father's Day, we've honored the fathers or the mothers here just a few weeks ago, and we honored the fathers this morning. Father's Day started, you know, it's an amazing thing that technically Father's Day started in West Virginia. Mother's Day started in West Virginia. Mother's Day started in Grafton. Father's Day started in Fairmont. It's an amazing thing. I think it's... might do us a little bit of state thoughts there. You know, July the 5th, 1908, they had a special Sunday service for the 362 men that was killed up there in the coal mines in Fairmont. That's what started Father's Day. 362 men were killed in that mine explosion at Fairmont. And they had a special church service at the Methodist Church up there to commemorate and to honor the men. And since then, I think another lady out of Spokane, Washington, pushed it on further. But since then, we've had Father's Day. 1966, Lyndon Johnson made it a day. Then Richard Nixon in 1972 made it a national day. That always the third Sunday of June. Now, that's just an information. Probably won't do you a bit of good. Just the information I happen to tell you. No. All right. But anyway, Richard Nixon made it a national day. Now, the third Sunday of every June, we honor fathers all over. And it's necessary. I think it's very necessary. Where would we be without our fathers? Where would we be in our country without our founding fathers? Where would we be without the fathers of faith that we have in the Word of God? Now, I don't want none of the women to feel left out this morning. All right, you are important. You mothers are important. The women are still important. They're just places that you can't be in leadership, and they're just things you can't do. That's just the way the Word of God lays out. But yet you're important. You know, without the women, now, this is not, I'm not being degrading at all, so listen carefully, but women have done some great things. If it wasn't for a woman, we wouldn't know what a paper poke was. I'm just doing some study and some reading, and women are responsible for us having, some of y'all know what a paper poke is, a paper bag, paper poke, all right, and so they was good for that, that's good, they were good for more than that, all right, they're good for more than that, coffee filters, huh, do you know women invented coffee filters?
Amen.
Yeah. They got tired of having coffee grounds in their coffee, so they made coffee filter. I mean, that's true. I mean, you say, well, I have found in reading about what all women invented that the majority of it was because their work has been so hard in the home. They've done things and invented things that will help them and aid them taking care of us men, really. In all honesty, that's the truth, all right? You think about it. Did you know, fellas, how many of you men own a circular saw? Hold your hand up if you're under circular saw. I want you to know, if it wasn't for a woman, you wouldn't have no circular saw. Just want you to know that. A woman got tired of watching her man out there cutting with a cross cut, and she was on her spinning wheel. This is the truth. She was working on her spinning wheel, and she said, boy, if we could just put teeth on that thing to cut. And she put a saw blade on a spinning wheel, and they got their first circle. That's how we got a circular saw. That's the truth. So see, women, we're just not gonna throw you away. All right, there's some things we need. All right, there's some things we need. At ice cream machine, I love ice cream. Ice cream for ice cream, right? Can I tell you, a woman made the first ice cream maker. Just want you to know, I thank God for ice cream and women. How's that? All right, so we just want you women to understand we're not going to try to down you and forget you. We do understand. And of course there's other important things. If it wasn't for some of a woman inventor, we wouldn't be able to have the sonar and things that send submarines and pick up missiles, and we wouldn't have radium for radioactivity for cancers and all the stuff. Women have done that with Madame Curie and all these things. So there's a lot of importance. I don't want you to feel left out this morning. All right? But we want you to know that we do love you. But can I tell you that the man was made first? And it was a reason for that, because we're made different, not just physically, but we're made different mentally. And we're made to lead. We're made to be strong. We're made to follow God. Adam was made first. He was made to follow God. He was to set the example. Eve come along as his helpmeet, but yet Adam was supposed to be in charge. He dropped the ball. Many say he dropped the ball because of Eve being deceived. But can I tell you that it was out of great love the first man, Adam, chose to take the sin of his bride, as Christ, the second man, Adam, took the sins of his bride that we might be saved today. So there's a lot of comparisons we need to think about when we go to the Word of God. Is everybody still with me? I want you to think about that. Father's Day's been good, I reckon. See this thing right here? That's because of Father's Day. Back at around 1908 or something, 1910, they made these neckties, like it started giving them for Father's Day gifts. Huh? I don't know if that's a blessing or it's a curse. It's almost like telling somebody they need to go see a doctor. You wonder if they really love you when they tell you you got to see a doctor. You'll get that in a minute. Alright? Do they really love you? But anyway, we were just talking about this is Father's Day. But what I want to preach to you about just for a little bit this morning is the home. Our homes are in trouble. Our homes in trouble, and we've got godly men that can make a difference. We've got men that'll make it. If you're not a saved man this morning, you need to be saved that you might have a godly home, because it rests on you. Can I tell you, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to have a godly home. I believe with all my heart that I will stand in judgment for what I do in this life. That's what the Bible teaches, whether it be good or bad. I believe that. The Bible teaches that. And I believe that some of that judgment is going to be how I've instructed my home, how I've instructed my wife, how I've instructed my children, how I've instructed my grandchildren, the example that I've set before them, how I live, not only just before you, but my home is important. Can I tell you that the influence that I have on my home is not just going to influence my home, it's going to influence everybody around, my neighbors, the society, wherever they go to work, whatever state they move into. If they go to another state, right now Marcus is in Florida, He's moving end of the month. He's taking an assistant pastor job in Tennessee, 3 hours from home. Hallelujah for answered prayer. All right, I'm glad for that. But wherever he goes, can I tell you, the influence of home is what he is showing wherever he's at. Philip has had an influence. He got influence from home. Now, we're not taking credit for everything they do. That ain't what I'm saying. We're talking about an influence, a godly influence. But can I tell you, there's ungodly influences just the same. We all know people. I'll never forget. I've preached to you and told you about before. There's a family where I was raised in Winona. There was a family there. And it just so happened, my pawpaw and the granddaddy, with his age, they were friends. They were buddies. They run around some together. And then they're the next generation. My daddy and that man's son run around together. They was buddies. And then my generation, it just so happened that family was close to us in a way that me and the grandson were good friends, great friends, okay? But can I tell you that Pawpaw and daddy and myself, Christians, preachers, but the granddaddy and the daddy and the young man that's living now, all lost, all raised, completely evil. And I'll never forget my daddy, and I said the same thing to the grandson, but to the son, my daddy was witnessing to him and said, somewhere you're going to have to break the chain and stop this evilness and trust the Lord. And I said the same thing to the grandson, which is my age, just a month difference, 2 months difference in our age. And somewhere, and that's the influence. Can I tell you, the grandfather, and we mentioned this last Sunday night, the influence of Uzziah and his son, Jotham, and then Ahaz. And we see a generation. It's important how we live. Y'all understand that, man? But can I tell you, God has used us. God has used us greatly. Now, I want you to listen. This may not be politically correct, but it's Bible correct. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. The home. We're talking about the home this morning. The home this morning. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I want you to look at verse 27. I want to start with telling you this, that the home is consists of a man and a woman. A male and a female. A male that was a male at birth and a female that was a female at birth. Amen. All right? That's how the home starts. All right? Nothing else is considered a home. It's considered an abomination. Okay? A woman had been turned into having some of the equipment of a man, and a man turned into having some of the equipment of a woman is still a man. And a woman is still a woman. And you can do the chromosome test and figure all that out yourself. But Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I just want to go ahead and tell you this morning that the reason that our homes are in trouble is because we went back and forgot the very way and the very things that God made us for. I'm not downing nobody. I'm just telling you there's some things that ain't right and there's some things that's right. Okay? And it don't matter what the world says. All right. I'm not going to cotton to 5% of the population and afraid to worry about hurting their feelings. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But I'm not against them. I'm for anybody whosoever will let them come and drink of the water of life freely. All right. But see, in Matthew chapter 19, are we okay this morning? I start out rough. So Lord, you ought to be able to enjoy the rest then. Matthew chapter 19. Look at Matthew chapter 19. In verse 4, it says, and he answered and said, this is Jesus speaking, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? I just want you to understand that's how God made, and the home starts with a male, not a female and a male, but a male and a female. Not a female and a male, but a male and a female. Amen. We're supposed to be the head of the home, man. All right? But can I tell you, the authority is not ours, it's God's. There can't be but one authority in the home, and that's God's authority. Are you hearing me? And it's God, man, and woman. That's the way it's written out in the Bible. And it's my responsibility to do my part. Now, I know that may not be politically correct, but that's okay. Okay? We're going to stick with what the Bible said. Now, I'm going to tell you how much common sense that makes. Do you know that it's the same way in animals? Do you know there's two genders in man and woman? There's two genders in animals, male and female. Do you know there's two genders in your garden? Do you know you go out there to your zucchini plant and you got male and female bloom? Do you know that? You go out there to your asparagus patch and you got male and female asparagus. Do you know that? Do you know you got male and female cucumbers right on the vine? You say you're crazy. No, it's true. You watch. You watch. Huh? You can look. There's a difference. There's a difference, a visible difference of a male and a female bloom on a zucchini or a squash or a cucumber or an asparagus. You say, well, you're crazy. No, that's just the way God made it. All right? Now, I didn't give you a West Virginia history. Now, I'm giving you a botany lesson. Okay? All right? All right? Little David Hollingsworth and Madison, they was over at the house. We was planting garden, and they wanted to help. So I was telling them, I would tell them about the seed, and we'd plant corn. I'd tell them what the corn would do, how it would die, and the seed would come forth, and then be on the ear, and one seed in the ground, and 18 rows. In a certain kind of corn, you'll have 18 rows every time, and so many kernels in every ear if it's developed right. Certain, some has 14, some has 16, depends on the way it is. And I would tell them, and they went home and they said, why don't the preacher teach us kids downstairs? Said, he taught us science. He preached a sermon on science. Huh? I just want you to understand, the Lord's in it all. But it starts down at the house. And it's male and female. And God has used men. God has used great men to do great things. You know, the fathers of our country. You know, we have this country. Sure, we have because of men, but because of women, but because men said we're not going to live under a tyrant, and we're going to be free. And men led their families into being poor and losing everything just for the cause of freedom. That men laid down their life for our freedom today. Thank God for men. Thank God for you men. Some of you men has went to the service and went across the ocean. And wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But can I tell you, women have too. Women have too. But can I tell you, the majority that's laid down their life has been men. Left their homes. Huh? They've invented more. You know, you're not even taught in school, I reckon. Unless you're homeschooled. You're not even taught who invented what. You know, you're not even taught anymore in history who invented this machine and who invented the steam engine and who invented the cotton gin and all these things. You know, any of y'all college boys ever learn that in school? Did y'all learn that? Y'all's doctors and nurses, but do you know who invented the cotton gin? We was learned that in school. But we're not taught that no more. Why? Because the world wants to push down the masculinity and the leadership of the man and the work of a man. Can I tell you, don't let nobody destroy your manhood today. Amen. Don't let a bossy, nagging wife hurt your masculinity this morning. Amen. Because women get out of place. And they make men get out of their place.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's because men wasn't in their place to start with. Okay? And we're just trying to encourage you men. Huh? To be men. Don't wear lace drawers. Be men. Huh? And you say, why is that important? Through the Word of God, we need men. All through the Bible, we need men. And can I tell you that strong men will produce strong women and strong children and strong homes and strong churches and strong countries. Can I tell you that this morning? We still okay? Can I tell you, the Father is so important that I was reading concerning the absentee father. And what it caused. And I had, it was page after page of stuff that the doctors say it caused. but it was physical changes because the father was absent in the home. Physical changes. Mental changes because the father was not in the home. That it said spiritual change. Now this is what the doctor said, that they was even spiritual changes because the father was not in the home. You fathers are important. Amen. You're important this morning. Man, thank God for fathers today. Thank God for godly fathers today. Men, are you hearing me? Males. Fathers are only males. Okay? You dress a pig up in a tuxedo. Guess, you know what you got? A pig. Huh? He may look good, may smell good for a bit, but he's still a pig. And you can't dress a man up like a woman, and you can't dress a woman up like a man. They're still what they are. Okay? We still okay. But we got, it's men. Can I tell you? Now this is according to the doctors. This ain't my opinion. This is according to the doctors. All right? And some of the articles that I read said that there was no definite proof. That's what I said. There's no definite proof. But the thought is that absentee fathers has brought on they wouldn't come out and say that it caused homosexuality. How was the word? It meant the downing of masculinity. In other words, without the father in the home, the boys were normally sissies. That's what it meant. Okay? Can I tell you, that's true. That's true. But I also found that without the fathers in the home, that the children were more apt to be teenage pregnancies, that there was more apt to be drunkenness, that there's higher percentage of dope, higher percentage of every crime where the father was absent. That's what the ones that I read. Now, whether they was true or not, that's just what you read. But by experience, can I tell you that's pretty well true. Can I tell you that I thank God for my father, my daddy? Can I tell you I thank God for him? Do you know that because of my daddy, one of the reasons that I'm saved is because of my daddy. My daddy was preaching the night I got saved. Wonderful. Do I remember the message? No, I remember I was lost. I remember I went forward. I remember I knelt down. I remember I repented and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And I remember my daddy asking me after the service was over. He said, Mark, I was standing. He said, Mark, what happened? I said, Daddy, I got saved. I remember that. I remember Christ coming to my heart. Huh? My daddy was, but I gotta tell you, he didn't just see to it that my soul got saved, but he saved me from a lot of other stuff. Huh? Now, I know everybody don't have this kind of father. I know that. Maybe you had it, maybe you didn't. But I'm going to tell you, when you ask me, 9 out of 10 times, if you ask me how I am, what do I say? No complaints. I'm all right. No complaints. Because I've got so much and been blessed so much. Why would I growl about a limp or a weak arm or a heart trouble? Why would I complain about anything in this life? Because I've been given so much. Why would I? Can I tell you some of the things that God blessed me with in my daddy? Can I tell you that some things I never knew? I never knew liquor in the house. Never knew that. Even though my daddy had been a drunk, I never knew it. Huh? I never saw it. He had done been a changed man before I ever come around. I never saw liquor. Never saw dope. Never heard blasphemy of God in my home. In fact, we were taught, not only did we didn't speak it, but nobody spoke it to us. Huh? And you say, what does that mean? And I'm not bragging on this. I'm just telling you, it's hard to get out of my system. But for somebody to come up and cuss me, I was taught to punch him in the mouth. And I was in a preacher's home. But that's what we thought. You don't take a cussing.
No.
Huh? I'm thankful for that. Amen. Now when I'm sitting in my... Well, I don't go to McDonald's anymore, but I'm sitting in a place like Wendy's or McDonald's or anywhere, and that starts, you're in line at the store, and they started, I shut them up. Amen. I'm not listening to it. Especially if my wife and kids or grandkids are around. So far, they've all backed down. But I'm not listening to it. Where I find that? I found that at home. I found that from my father. See, there's some things I was safe from. I was safe from the drink and the dope and the cut. You know, I never seen my daddy beat my mommy. Thank God I wasn't in an abusive home. Now, they would whoop us. They'd light us up in a heartbeat. But they never done that one to another. No, no, no. If they really got into it, now, they's always spat. Daddy was a man of few words. Yeah. But if they really got into it, they must have done it in private. Because I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Are you hearing me? Listen to me now. I had... And I know some of y'all's not had this, and I'm not down in that. I'm just telling you how blessed I am. I don't know what it's like to have two dads. I don't have a dad on this weekend and another dad the next weekend. Boy, I thank God that I don't have that. If you don't have that, man, do you realize how blessed you are that you come home and it's the same dad all the time? Huh? Some of our kids downstairs, they have different dads weekly. Huh? I just thank God for my dad. Huh? I don't come from a split home. I don't come from a drunkard's home. I don't come from a dope head's home. I don't come from a blasphemer's home. I don't come from an abuser's home. I don't come from a split home. Can I tell you that I was never neglected? I was never left somewhere and forgotten. Do you know that I don't know what it's like to be hungry? Now, there's times I may have missed supper or lunch or breakfast, maybe of my own choosing, but I've never been hungry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've never had my stomach squeezed or swollen and the inside squeezed together because I've not had food for days. I watched some of them kids downstairs. I'll never forget when I first come here as pastor. We went downstairs and we started just getting the kids back on the bus. I don't know if you remember Tom. And somebody wanted to be, might have been Lisa Bells maybe. Somebody wanted to make sandwiches or bake cookies. Somebody wanted to bake cookies for one Wednesday night. And that's before we ever cooked anybody for anything. And I'll say, sure, make them some cookies. Well, they said, well, you care if we make them a sandwich? I said, I don't care. So they made them little triangle sandwiches, you know, bologna with them little triangle sandwiches. And they laid them down there. I'll never forget. I was standing down there in the old kitchen, and I seen a big plate of homemade cookies and a big plate of bologna sandwiches. And kids lined up, and they never ate one cookie. They ate the sandwiches and come back through and says, are there any more sandwiches? And I stood in the door and wept because they were hungry and I had never been hungry like that. And that's why we feed the kids on Wednesday, and that's why we feed the kids on Sunday morning, and that's why they get a lunch and a breakfast on the bus. That's why. But I never saw that. I had a good daddy, a good father. Can I tell you, I was never cold. We wasn't froze to death in the house. Now, there was times, I remember that old Cole's furnace, you know, it didn't put out much. You'd stand over at Rester. I remember that. I remember them coming and the house would stink when they fill the oil tank up with the oil furnace. Some of y'all might remember some of that. I remember that. Huh? I remember the blankets on the doorways. When you go from a living room to the kitchen, they'd be a blanket when it was cold outside. I remember that. You know why? Because they didn't want us to be cold. Huh? And you know what happened? My father made sure made sure they might not have been much money, but they was enough to get by. I never was evicted out of my home. Never. And I just want to thank God today for my father. And for you, Father, that's doing the same thing, thank you, thank you, thank you that you're making a difference. The kids may not ever thank you. There's some kids today, they've got it all. They waste more than some families ever had to eat. And they never thank their mom and dad. But can I tell you, whether they thank you or not, they'll never forget it. They'll not forget your sacrifice. They'll not forget what you've done. And I applaud you today if you're doing that very thing. Working long hours and doing things that you didn't think possible, trying to provide for the family. But can I tell you now, that's just some thoughts this morning. But let me give you a couple things real quick. Genesis chapter 4. Let me tell you how important you are, Father. You need to instruct. You're needed to instruct. You know that? Why? Because God instructs us. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 about Him instructing us, speaking us, instructing us. But can I tell you, He laid out some things. Look here in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as has cattle." That was the first cattleman. That was your first one. And you know what he done? He instructed these kids. And that's what they all become, was cattlemen. You know that that's usually the way it is. If you work in the mines, then your son will probably go to the mines. And their son will probably go to the mines. If you work in a power company, if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, or you're educated, then it seems like they excel in every way, whatever they're taught. Huh? I never forget when I was growing up, Daddy said, "Now, Mark, don't go in the mines. If you can keep from it, don't go in the mines." I said, "Okay." So I go to the machine shop. I become a machinist. And they wouldn't work all the time. Where'd I end up? The mines. Huh? Because I have to. But I didn't stay no longer than I had to. I work in the mines. They'd lay off. And then I'd go back in the shop and back and forth. But it seemed like it was in you. BB worked in the mines. Dad, Papa worked in, Grandpa worked in the mines. Papa worked in the mines. Daddy worked in the mines. BB worked in the mines. I worked in the mines. Just handed down. And I'd done everything in my power to keep Marcus and Philip out of the mines underground. But Philip, what did he end up being? For a while, he was worked in the mines, but his own strip job. Just seemed like you can't get away from it. Why? Because of the instruction of the father. We okay? But see, it goes on. If you look there in verse 21, it says, "And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of such as handled the harp and the organ." He was the father of it. That's where your musicians come from. Huh? That's what it says there. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ. Ain't that what it said? And hand it down. Can I tell you, that's normally what it is. Can I tell you that Grandpa played the guitar, Papa played the guitar, huh? Daddy played a little bit, and Uncle Kenny, but then they didn't fool with it. Then I played, BB played the guitar, I played the guitar. It was handed down. You understand? That's just the way it is a lot of times. Then there's always some in the family who can't carry radio. But we understand it. You wonder who they belong to. That's just teasing. Look at verse 22. "And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain. He was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron." Hey, Pat, there was your first welder. Huh? Right there in the Bible. He worked with brass and iron, first fabricator. He was the instructor. Fathers instruct. Do you understand that regardless of what you do, you're a teacher? Daddy, you're a teacher. You're a teacher in everything. In everything you say, in everything you do, in every action and reaction, you're a teacher. Oh, God, help us to be godly teachers. Huh? How about Hebrews 11:7? Huh? Hebrews 11:7. Daddy, we okay? Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. Can I tell you, that fathers not only instruct, but they protect. Can I tell you that he minded God and built an ark for the saving of his house to protect his house from the judgment to come? Can I go ahead and tell you that it's not just protection with God, but it ought to be protection with everything. And dads, fathers, men, we ought to be the protector of the home. Not when you hear a noise. Well, go see what that is, honey. I'm tired. Huh? You probably go yourself, unless you don't want no mercy shown. If you send the wife, there won't be no mercy shown. Huh? We okay? I'm just telling you, there's examples in the Bible. And you're the protector. Is that not who? When somebody's hurt, they run to mommy. But when somebody does you wrong, they come to daddy. When somebody's hurt, they run to mommy to get a little love. But if somebody jumps on you or gets on you or hurts you, dad. Yeah. Well, because dad's a protector. That's the same way it is in my home. That's what it was in my home. Something happened in my home. Now, mommy would fight for you. No problem there. But daddy just went and took care of it. Yeah. Same way with my boys. We just take care of it. Huh? Are you hearing me? That's the way it ought to be. I believe we have Bible for it. Huh? Can I tell you, but there's more than that. Can I tell you in Genesis 22, we used it there last Sunday. Genesis 22, fathers worship. Can I tell you that one of the greatest things, not just to teach them our trade, not just to protect them, but oh man, we ought to teach our children to worship. When Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, he said, me and the lad are going yonder to worship. That was the purpose of Abraham going, was taking the boy to go worship. Dads, it's our job to get him to the church house. It's our job to teach him his Bible, but it's our job to teach him the relationship with God, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth, to set the example, to do the praying. Can I tell you, let the man do the praying. It's good to have mommy praying, but I'm glad that dads pray. Huh? And I'm just telling you, we're talking about the home this morning. And the home ain't ever going to be right if dads ain't right. The home ain't ever going to be right if moms ain't right. The children will never be right. You know what they say? That if a child gets saved before the family, then there's just a small percentage of parents that get saved. But if moms and dads get saved, there's a 93.9% of one of the articles I read, 93.9% of the families turn Christian if mom and dad do. Why is that? Why is that? Because of influence, because of the home, the importance. I believe it starts down there, dad. I believe so. Huh? How about in Exodus chapter 24? Go in there, look there if you want to. Exodus 24:1. It says that they was commanded, and it wasn't just one man, but they took 70 of the elders and three or four other men. What's it say? And Moses said, come up to the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders, and worship. Huh? Men. Huh? Me and Rick Vance was talking the other day, and he asked me, he said, reckon we could have some for the men? Reckon we need to have some just that the men gather up and maybe eat a breakfast or eat a meal or something and sit around and talk the Bible or just fellowship and get to know one another and just have a time. And, hey, why can't we just go ahead and lead in worship? Why can't the men go ahead and lead in worship instead of waiting for the women to? Man, we need you. We need you. I thank God. I watched my daddy preach, my popo preach. I watched him lead. I watched him lead in worship. I've been taught to worship God, to honor God. I was taught by my daddy to pay attention and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for some things. He said, there's some things that's foolishness, boy. That's what he tell me. Some things is foolishness. And there's other things that's God. Can I tell you, I've been in church long enough to tell you that there's some things foolishness. And then there's some things that's God. And if you got any spiritual discernment, you understand what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, I thank God for dads. See, what I see is that God's ought to be, or dads ought to be godly. So they can instruct, so they can protect, huh? So they can worship, huh? Joshua 5:14 says, and you know, he was a soldier. He was a tough man. Joshua was. But he knelt down and worshiped the captain of the host there in chapter 5. He knelt down and worshiped. He said, hey, Miss Joshua, come and worship for me. No. He had time with God. Oh, that we would have men that would spend time with God. That we would have some men like John, praying John Hyde, pray so hard and worship so long that he would have calluses on his knees to the point that they would call him camel knees. That he would wear grooves. He always prayed in the same place, and he wore grooves in an oak hardwood floor on his knees back and forth where he would pray like that, and his knees would scoot, that he wore grooves down in the boards where he would pray and worship and honor God so long. Huh? Oh, that we would do that, men. Huh? And you say, well, I'm doing it. Well, keep it up. We need you. We got to have you praying. Don't quit. Don't back up. Don't get weak. Stand for what's right. Stand for the truth. Stand for the Bible. Stand for God. Stand for the blood. Stand for Christ. Lead your family. Guide your family. For you will give an account about your family. I believe with all my heart. Fathers correct. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about fathers chastening us. Fathers, don't forget to correct them. Instruct them, but don't forget to correct them. Teach your children. Teach your children respect. Teach your children, fathers, it's up to you. Teach them respect of elders. Huh? There's some things. I'm not mean mouthing none of your kids. I understand what you do in your home is your business. What comes then this home is my business, though. Would you agree to that? What you do in your home is your business, but what happens in this house is my business. But I think it's really disrespectful for the kids to run over top of the older ones when they're trying to get through a door, when they're trying to get to the bathroom, and the kid just busts through and never an excuse me or pardon me or, huh? That they'll knock stuff out of your hand and keep on, they'll look back and know they done it, but they won't stop to help you. I think it's dad's fault. I said I was going to try to encourage you, but we're just preaching this morning on correction. I believe you ought to teach a young man to shake your hand, look you in the eyeball, squeeze your hand, look at your right eyeball to eyeball. I believe that's how you ought to shake hands. I'm a little eerie of a man that won't look me in the eye when I shake your hand. If you can't look me in the eyes, I wonder what else you're fixing to do. I mean, that's just the way I am. Huh? You say, well, that's harsh. No, I have no problem looking you in the eyeball. In fact, y'all tell me I invade your space. But I'm just telling you, we need men. We need men. We need men. The home needs men. The church needs men. Our country needs men. Huh? And if you're doing it, then keep doing it. Don't quit. Don't quit. But Hebrews 12 talks about chastening. It's not going to be good, but our fathers chastened us. Huh? But there's one that I can't quit on. I'm going to quit on. I just can't get past it. And I want to look in Luke 15. We always talk about a mother's love. We always talk about mother's love, the nearest thing to the love of God. I don't know about that. I've said it myself, but I don't know. I've seen some moms give up. I've seen some moms say, what's the use? I've seen some dads give up and say, what's the use? But you know something, what I found about all of us tough guys? All you tough guys, look here. When the kids come by, they'll go to mommy, and mommy said, no. And they'll slip over to us. Is that not true? And they'll say, hey, Dad, you reckon maybe? We'll see. Sometimes it's yes, whatever you want. Here's a checkbook. Go. Other times it's we'll see. We'll see. But dads, when it comes to kids, especially when Philip and Lindsay got married, you know, y'all know how Philip was. Philip was contrary to you know, with me and him, the way we talked, you know. Hey. And Lindsay got everything, you know. Well, when Hannah was born, and she was just old enough that me and her got pretty close, you know. And I'll never forget, Lindsay told me, she said, I lost my place. I lost my place. Hannah took my place. Because Lindsay used to ask if she whatever she wanted, if I knew she wanted it, if I could. And she ain't even my daughter. She's Pat's. But, and you're listening today, Lindsay and Jennifer back here. Hey, Pat, did they not come to old Dad? Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Huh? But when Hannah come along, it was the granddaughter. Huh? It was the granddaughter. In fact, Kenzie stayed up there so long, that it got to the point that it was all whatever she wanted. And Zach says, wait a minute. I'm your nephew. She's not. But what it is a soft spot in a man's heart. Amen, Shane? All them girls? Hey, Zach, I'm sorry. You in a house of six girls, you and Lane are y'all just runts, all I'm tell you. The girls has done corrupted you. Huh? I mean, it's just the way it is. Why? It's just the love of a father. But can I tell you, if I want to see how much God loves me, I don't look to mom. I look to a dad. Can we read just for a moment? Look in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to quit here with this. Luke chapter 15, let's start at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said, the baby boy. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know, that was a disrespectful request. Because he wasn't supposed to have nothing. It went to the older son. Are you hearing me? And he said, give me the portion which falls to me. And then the man done it out of love out of his heart. Because he loved that boy. Huh? Y'all still with me? It says in verse 13, not only did he give it to him, I believe he knew what he was going to do with it. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And look here, this I see is the love of a father. This I see is the love of God for a sinner. This I see, there's no greater love, I don't believe, than what a father's love is. I believe it surpasses a mommy's love. Huh? Because it says here, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You remember when he was lost Do you remember when God was a million miles away? But you were sick of the life you was living and sick of the sin and sick of all the wasted in your life. And you turned to come to Him. And He runs to you. And He wraps His arms around you. And He don't ask you about your past. And He don't ask you about your mistakes. And He don't question you about all the waste. But He puts His arms around you and loves on you and shows compassion and clothes you. Hey, that's the Father's love. But that's the Heavenly Father's love for me and you this morning. And ain't nobody loved you like He loves you this morning. For He takes you and He hides them old scars. He puts that old coat on you. And nobody sees the stench or smells the stench or sees the scars. And He puts a ring on your finger to make sure you know you're part of the family. And He puts shoes on your feet. You're not a visitor in the home, but you're a very owner there. And you got your shoes on. He said, now let's feed. That's the love of a father. Amen. Huh? My daddy, far as I know, I don't remember, and I'm not saying this negative about my daddy. I don't know that he ever sat me down and said, Mark, I love you. I don't know. I don't remember him saying that. But everything he done showed me over and over and over that he loved me. I have never heard audibly from God that He loves me. I've never heard it audibly. But everything that I've seen and everything that I've experienced and everywhere I've been, I see that He loves me in spite of me. And I say, yeah, my dad's love. Same way. There's times David would take me out to the junk house. He'd say, you doing all right? I said, yeah. He said, no, you doing all right. He'd be reaching in his pocket. Daddy was far from rich, and he'd be reaching in his billfold. He said, I got a little money put back if you need it. They was always in that little fold underneath that billfold. They was always, might have been $50, maybe it was $100, but there was always a little bit there. He said, now, I got a little bit if you need it. I said, no, I'm fine. But he was wanting to make sure I was provided for. And I was on my own. Can I tell you that I've been on my own many a time, and he still would come by my way and say, hey, Mark, you need a little, I got a little put back for you. I just want you to know there ain't nothing greater to me than a father's love. I'm glad for my earthly father, but I'm glad for my heavenly father this morning. And if you don't have one like that, maybe you don't have an earthly father like that, let me let you in on one that'll adopt you into the family, and you can have a father like that this morning. Huh? Oh, I wouldn't trade my earthly father. There's not enough money in this world for me to give up my earthly father. He's given me a name. You know, he gave me a name. They always wonder, you know, somebody born here, you going to take your father's name? But I gladly take my father's name. Who's born are you? I'm born Russell's boy. That's who I am. I don't hesitate. I'm glad. Somebody wants to know which secrecy. I'm Boyd's boy. I'm Boyd's baby. That's usually what I am. I'm Boyd's baby boy. That's usually what I say. And I'm not ashamed of it. But can I tell you this morning, I have a heavenly father. And I'm not ashamed to tell you who my father is in heaven this morning. I'm thankful for that. And can I tell you, I believe I got the home I have today because of my earthly father. I believe I have the home I have today because of my heavenly father. What kind of home you got today? What kind of home you got today? Huh? Hey, Dad, let's have a godly one. Hey, Dad, let's stand for all that God has. Let's do the best we can. when we fall, just get up and go at it again. Make a mistake, repent. You ever have to repent to your children? I've had to repent to my children. Been wrong. That's tough to say. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. For I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Let's go at it again. Huh? I believe the home's important this morning. And I believe on this day, let's honor the fathers of the home. Father, I come to you. You are my heavenly Father. And oh God, I come asking that maybe you could take some of these feeble words and lodge it in our minds and our hearts that it might bring you glory. Lord, I don't know who's saved and who ain't. But I know this, we got a responsibility as men. But Lord, there's a responsibility to these women. These young men got these little babies. Oh God, help them to have a backbone. Help them to stand on the truth. Help them to raise their, to love their wives and to raise their children and to honor you. Oh God, help us men to love our wives as you command. To love you. To be a man. To be saved. God, you commanded to teach our children, to show our children. Oh God, help us, I pray. Help our families, help our homes. God, I'm burdened over the homes of the people in this church. And, oh God, don't want to see nobody wasted. Don't want to see not one child left behind in any way, shape, or form. Oh, the best families. Oh God, help them, I pray. Help me as a pastor to be the right leader. Oh God, help me this morning. Please forgive me where I failed you. But help me to stand right. And I'm going to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together.